All right, folks, we are in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And in this lesson, we're going to see that God speaks to different people in different ways. But the main thing we need to be alert to is God's Word. The main thing we need to be alert to is God's Word. God speaks to different people in different ways, but the main thing we need to be alert to is His Word, God's Word. So this is God's Word. Let's look at it together. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. How old do you have to be to serve the Lord? Little kids can serve the Lord. The lips of children can praise him. and they should. You do not have to wait until you get to be 21. You don't have to wait until you get to be 18. You don't have to wait until you get to be 16. The call that God put on my life to start Ware's Valley Ranch came when I was 15 years old. But it came to me when I was already serving the Lord. Okay? It wasn't like I was just out goofing off. And in the midst of that, God called me to do what I'm doing today. I want you to understand that what makes God's call on your life and God's ministry that He accomplishes through you effective is not you. It's not your intelligence. It's not your talents. It's not your human connections. It is God. It is God. It is God. He's the one who makes the difference. And that's why God has chosen down through the ages, from generation to generation, to use all kinds of people. God has used some people with brilliant intellects and great education. And God has also used some people whose intellects were dubious and whose education was humanly laughable. One of the greatest evangelists of all time was a fellow by the name of Dwight L. Moody, Dwight Lyman Moody. And suffice it to say, he was a great salesman, but he was not tremendously well educated. And he did not speak standard English. That is to say, he talked like someone who hadn't gone to school and who'd grown up around people who hadn't gone to school. And the reason was because he hadn't gone to school and he grew up around people who hadn't gone to school. So he talked in a poorly structured fashion, certainly not like the eloquent, flowery speakers that were popular in his day. But God anointed him and used him in a way that ministered the gospel to crowds that were way beyond anything people had seen in a generation. God used him tremendously, not because he was brilliant, but because God chose to use him. So if you look at your life and you think, well, I'm not ready to serve the Lord. Well, that's not about ability. That's about rebellion. If you think that even though you're a child or a young adult, that's for later, sometime when I've done what I want to do. You are simply running in the wrong direction. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. And by the way, there may be some older people who will watch this. And you may think, well, you know, my day is past. Maybe I could have served God when I was younger. Or maybe you did serve God in a very clear way when you were younger. But now you think you can retire. You may change your responsibilities. God may shift you into another area of ministry. But however young or old you are, whether your health is strong or poor, you need to be saying, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to please you. When my mother was in her 90s, there was not much she could do to serve the Lord except pray and seek to share the gospel with people who didn't know him. Mom told me after she went into a nursing home, and they didn't expect her to live more than a few months, she lived for a number of years. But she said, you know, when I first came here, I didn't think that I was going to like it. But I really think the stimulation of being around people my own age has been good for me. You see, when I lived in your home, there was nothing for me to do. I had no mission. Everybody in your family was already saved. But here, even though there are some people who love the Lord, there are some people who don't know Him. So I look for ways to share the gospel with them. One of the activities that they have us do is they cut words out of magazines and things and they put them, or letters, I'm sorry, they cut letters out of magazines and they have us arrange them to spell things. And she said, so I spell things like, God loves you, Jesus died for you, and I ask the other people if they can read that to me. Can you read that? I don't care if you're young or old. I don't care if you're rich or poor. I don't care if you're brilliantly educated or not so much. If you say, God, I'm yours, I want to serve you, God will let you minister before Him. That doesn't mean everybody's going to have the same ministry. But if you don't think that prayer makes a difference, then you don't believe what God says. And if you don't think that you can be a witness to the people who God puts in your life, then you don't realize how desperately people need the Lord. Look for ways to serve Him. This little boy, Samuel, ministered before the Lord. He ministered before the Lord, starting in childhood. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Jeremiah was a prophet who repeatedly put his life on the line for the word of God. He heard from God and he proclaimed what God told him to say. And yet, one of the passages in Jeremiah that especially speaks to me is when the people came to him and said, inquire of the Lord for us. We need to know what to do, and whatever the Lord tells us, we will do. Now, they didn't do what the Lord told them, but they said they would, and they said, ask the Lord for us. And so Jeremiah inquired of the Lord and said, Lord, what should these people do? And he didn't hear anything. And the next day, he still hadn't heard anything. And the day after that, he still hadn't heard anything. And the day after that, he still hadn't heard anything. And the day after that, he still hadn't heard anything. And the day after that, he still hadn't heard anything. It was 10 days, I believe. 10 days. Now, you know, people are saying, well, what's the word of the Lord? Well, what is God saying? Well, what is the Lord telling you? Not hearing anything right now. The word of the Lord comes from the Lord. It's not something we can invent. It is not something that is devised by man. And that's one of the most important things we ever learn about the Scriptures. God's word is not the invention of man. The Bible was not the creation of a group of scholars. The Bible is God's word, and God is the one who initiates revelation. God is the one who gave us His word. Just for clarity, let me add, the Bible's complete. Okay? God's not still passing out books of the Bible. God is not still giving us that kind of additional revelation. All of this is focused in the person of Jesus Christ. And we now have God's holy word. Does God still speak to people? Yes, He does. Are there some people who don't believe God still speaks to people? Yes, there are. Do I disagree with those people? Yes, we do. God still speaks. God still gives direction. When God speaks to people now, it is not Scripture. It is different. We don't have time to go into all that this morning, but New Testament prophecy that occurs within the body of Christ is not normative for all people in all generations in all situations the way that Scripture is. Okay? It is not infallible in the same way that Scripture is. That is to say, and we have an example of it in the book of Acts, person can receive a message from the Lord but not have the complete message and as a result misunderstand what the application is. But please understand this. God does still give people direction today. He shows people what they need to do. He still gives dreams and visions and prophecies today. But Scripture is God's perfect, complete, infallible, inerrant, perfect word. And if you want to know what God has to say, read this book. Well, I just wish God would tell me what he wants me to do. Well, how much time are you spending in his word? If you're not reading the Bible, but you're waiting for God to send you a special message, you're making a big mistake. Suppose that you went into the kitchen at the house and there's a list that shows what each child in the house is supposed to do this week. And you said to the house parent, what am I supposed to do? And they said, well, have you looked on the list? No. Okay, well, take a look at the list. That's what you need to do right now. Go over and take a look at the list and see your name and what it says you're supposed to do. No, I just want you to tell me. Would that be a good attitude or a bad attitude? Bad attitude. God has given us his word. I knew a couple when I was in college. The gal became pregnant. They were not married. But they explained to us that it was okay because they had prayed about whether or not it was okay for them to have sex prior to marriage, and God had told them it was okay. Well, no, God didn't tell them that. Okay? God didn't tell them that. How do I know that? Because God doesn't contradict himself. But the reason that they got that answer was because God wasn't the one who answered. Because God had already spoken, and they didn't like what he said. God had given us his word that teaches us that sex is supposed to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. That's a distillation of what Scripture teaches concerning the role of sex. But if you don't like that, if you don't like what God says, then some people will start asking God if they can have an exemption from the rule. Could I please do something different from what you've already said you want me to do? There's a guy named Balaam who did that. Let me ask God again. Maybe he'll change his mind. Okay? He's already said I'm not supposed to do this, but let me just ask him again. Let me tell you. When God says something in his word, that settles it. There used to be a bumper sticker that said, God says it, I believe it, that settles it. And I used to want to get a magic marker and mark out the middle line. I didn't have that bumper sticker on my car. Because let me tell you something. It's good to believe what God says. But whether or not you believe what God says, if God says it, that settles it. Is that clear? It's not like God says it, and if I agree, that settles it. No, whether you agree or not. Okay? What if you decided you didn't believe in gravity? I'm just floating. It's wonderful. No, you will not float away if you decide you don't believe in gravity anymore. God's word is true. God's laws are immutable. And so when we come to this story, we need to understand that God was still in the process of giving people Scripture, and God was still in the process of guiding his people in large numbers through the proclamation of individuals. And Samuel was going to be one of the most important prophets in all of human history. Now, here he is, a little boy, did not know the Lord yet. You see that in verse 7? Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And God is starting now to speak to him. And he doesn't recognize it. The only person he can think of who might be calling him, it's not because God's voice sounded like Eli's, but it's like, who else could it be? So he gets up, he goes to Eli, and he says, here I am, you called? Eli says, no, I didn't call you. And the boy's thinking, well, one of us is crazy. Okay? Trying to think how much God would have me to say here. Suffice it to say that recognizing what God is telling you takes practice. Okay? If you want to know what God says, do what you know God says. If you want to know what God says, do what you know God says. Be obedient in the area where God's revelation is very clear. And as you are obedient, you will increasingly learn to discern the leading of the Lord. Samuel replied to the Lord. Verse 4 says, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." The implication there is that he answered, "Here I am," and nothing happened. And so he got up and went to where Eli was and said, "I said, here I am." Clearly, the voice of God speaking to Samuel was not something that could be heard by Eli. Now, why is that? Because God wasn't talking to Eli. He was talking to Samuel. So Samuel is the one hearing from God, and he's the only one who needs to hear it. So he goes to Eli and he says, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. This pattern repeats itself, and the reason that Samuel wasn't getting it is because Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. He's going to know the Lord. God is the one who causes us to know him, who reveals himself to us, who reveals his word to mankind. It is from God. It is not the creation of man. But the Lord called to Samuel a third time. Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Now, Eli had a lot of faults, and this passage deals with that. But Eli was able, in this context, to help Samuel learn to know the Lord better. He gave him good counsel, because he recognized that the Lord was calling the boy, so he told him, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel obeyed Eli, and the Lord, verse 10, came and stood there. How awesome, in the literal sense of awesome, is that? The Lord, God, came and stood there next to a little boy's mat. Here's a little kid, and God shows up. God came, the Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times. God had been doing this. What an amazing picture of God's patience. He's reaching out to a child, and this child doesn't know him, doesn't recognize him, doesn't think of him when he hears a call, but instead continues to go to Eli. Now he's been told by Eli, "You answer directly. It's the Lord. Answer him. If he calls you again, that's God." And so the Lord comes and stands there. We often fail to recognize the reality of what God has promised, that whenever two or more are gathered in his name, he is here with us. Please understand this. You come into a room like this, there are people here, you're here because it's what we do. You know, it's the morning, we start with devotions, so here we are. And we sing our songs, and then somebody's going to speak, or we're going to watch a video. Do you understand that God shows up? God is here? God, the ruler of the universe. If you heard that Donald Trump was coming to visit Ware's Valley, would you think that's kind of neat? I want to see if that is a toupee. You know, I mean, what would you think? If you heard that the President of the United States or a Supreme Court justice or the... There aren't a lot of government officials I'd be eager to see. But if you heard somebody like that was coming, would you be impressed? What if Peyton Manning were paying a visit, okay? Would you be impressed? Would you be excited? Maybe some country star, okay? Scotty McCrary, I mean, who can I... Ooh, okay? If you heard someone like that was coming, wouldn't you... Wow, we have somebody special in our midst today. There's somebody really, really important here. God is here. God is here. God is here. You understand that? And we can talk to Him. And He listens. Wow. Wow. Think about it. Riding in the car. Hiking up a trail. Sitting down to eat a meal. God is not off in some other part of the universe. Because of the grace that He has shown to us in Christ Jesus, we can have direct access to Him. And He is not only with us, if you are a Christian, He is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Samuel, this little boy, lying there, is visited by God, who comes and stands there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord then told Samuel something very difficult to hear, and that is, "My wrath is going to be poured out on Eli's family. The guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." That's what God says. So Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord and was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." So Samuel goes and Eli threatens him with, "God is going to smite you if you don't tell me the whole truth. Tell me what he said." And so Samuel tells him the whole thing. There are times when we don't want to tell people the whole thing. There are times when we don't want to tell people the truth. "Well, I know he didn't believe in Jesus, but I'd still like to think he's in a better place." Well, you can think you're an elephant, but it won't turn you into one. And a person who rejects Jesus is not going to go to a better place when they die. Is that clear? "Well, but he was a nice man. He was a really nice man." Let me just tell you something. I don't derive any pleasure in telling people this. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. "Well, but I'd really like to think that." Well, like to, but too bad. There's only one way to the Father, and that's Jesus. He's the only hope. He's the only hope. So, Samuel told Eli the whole thing. And Eli's response is really poignant. He says, "He is the Lord." Let him do what is good in his eyes. He has just received word that God is going to destroy him and his house. And he doesn't say, oh God, have mercy. Let me go and fast and pray. He's given up. We said previously that Eli fattened himself on the sins of his sons. Even though he told them they shouldn't be doing what they were doing, he continued to enjoy the fruit of their sin and did not restrain them from it. He could have displaced them from their role. He could have called for the people to stone them to death. There would have been any number of appropriate things that he could have done, but he didn't. He just continued to eat the food that they gave him, and he fattened himself on their sin. So, when he hears the judgment that God has pronounced, spoken by a little boy who was afraid to tell, but went ahead and did it anyway, he embraced it. He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. That's a sad end. Verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. In other words, when Samuel spoke, God was in it. He wasn't just speaking flippantly. The things that he said, God backed up, because Samuel spoke having listened to God. He said what God put in his heart. And so God let none of his words fall to the ground. His words were not inconsequential. And all Israel recognized that Samuel was a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. And there he revealed himself to Samuel. How? Through his word. Now, what that means in Samuel's life is a little different from what it means to us today. But I want you to understand that the principle is still the same. And that is, if you want to know the Lord, if you want to know God's will, if you want to be fed and strengthened and instructed and directed and preserved from sin, you need to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Word of God are clearly, in the New Testament epistles of Paul, joined together. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Stay in the Word. You want to understand the Word? Yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Ask Him to guide you, and God will continue to guide and direct you through His Word. Years ago, a missionary who had spent 3 years imprisoned by the communist Chinese, one of those years in solitary confinement, brutally treated by the communist Chinese. This elder statesman was asked to come and speak to a Bible study that I had helped get started. And he told the story of Moses and the burning bush. And he pointed out something I'd never seen before or never had anybody else point out to me before. And that was the fact that the bush was burning and not being consumed. And when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to investigate, then the Lord spoke to Moses. It wasn't that the Lord called from the burning bush and said, hey, get over here and look at this. And it wasn't just that Moses saw that the bush was burning and not consumed. It was when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside and went to investigate this burning bush, then God spoke to him. And he said, you may wish that God would speak to you, but here is a bush that has been burning for centuries, and it is not consumed. If you want to hear from God, you turn aside and check this out. Do you want to know what God wants for you? Do you want to know what His direction is in your life? spend time in His Word. And God will do whatever it takes to make His will clear, as long as you're willing to do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You spoke to Samuel through Your Word, and that You speak to us through the written Word today. We thank You that we have the Bible in our own language because of the sacrifices of those who've gone before. And so we pray that You would make us faithful stewards of this great treasure, and that we would believe every word You say and obey. We'll be careful to give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.